Let me start that. And welcome everyone again for whoever's watching the recording. I'd paused it and I'm restarting it, but I haven't said anything other than we're going to do a chat check-in. So those of you, as you're joining, type into the chat box. What have you found challenging in the past 2 weeks? What are the successes you'd like to celebrate? And what are you currently feeling stuck on that you want help with for this call? So Beverly is saying a lack of time has been a challenge owing to a shift in work to online because of lockdown. Yeah, absolutely. Nicola, mega busy with work. Have still been gently working on finances and focus has drifted off due to being so busy. Yeah, I think we're having to juggle a lot more, many of us, because we've gone into lockdown. I'm wondering, has anything changed for you? I've noticed that Frida, you've just joined. How are things for you over there? You can just type it into the chat channel. I don't know whether you've gone into a greater level of lockdown like we have here or things are different for you.
Oh, hi.
Working in between on finance, but slow progress, but good. Let's celebrate that there has been progress, which is fabulous. And Nicola is saying, I don't feel any different from what life was like before with this new lockdown. Yeah, it's, we've kind of got into the swing of things with it, right? And luckily for those of us who have kids, kids are still at school because that would make a very different situation if they weren't. So Claire saying a challenge also due to the lack of time and being manic at work and need to allocate time to be wealth. Yeah. So Frida's updating us. Haven't had any more restrictions or lockdowns. That's great. So you'll notice, by the way, that I'm in a different location. I am staying with my best friend. I'm part of her social bubble. I was part of her social bubble back in the first lockdown. So I've come back and joined it just for a week as a part of my preemptive self-care. Because I live on my own and I'm very resilient and very comfortable in my own company, but I know that I've learned about myself through the first lockdown that spending too much time on my own is not good for me. So I'd already booked this in to come stay with them for a week before lockdown was announced, and it was just perfect timing. So I'm getting lots of cat cuddles. For those of you who follow me on Instagram, you might have seen my coworker Steele, little cute cat, he's adorable. but means I've got a different setup and so forth. So if my video isn't good, as good, the camera quality isn't as great, that is why. I'm gonna put in my headphones so I can hear. So what else have you been sharing? Any other updates? Okay, Sarah, challenging. Your challenges have been finding the time to work on my spreadsheet. Success has been thinking about my savings pot and thinking about what to do with that. Finding out that I had more in my pension than I thought. Hurrah, that is great news. And so then, yes, what else have we got here? Gillian, I've been reviewing things and sorting out my affairs, will, pension. So that's all in order. Bravo. That's excellent. Hurrah indeed. I am in lockdown, although missing people and exercise. Mm. So Ivy saying, I guess I didn't bring myself out of lockdown, so I'm not seeing much of a difference. So Anne is saying, hi everyone, I've just finished exploring all my accounts and filled in the overview spreadsheet I created. Lovely. Next job to put these totals into the other spreadsheet. All very illuminating and time to deal with the small money hemorrhages. Yes, block those leaks. Trying to pack up, ready to move at the same time, to be ready to move at the same time, but this won't be until around Christmas, going to New Zealand in the spring. Lovely. So Nicola, you're sharing, I'm feeling a bit stuck following the last calls. I'm not really sure what to do with the pension and need to educate myself better. Okay, so we can have a chat about that and have questions about an IFA and mortgage in situ today, if possible. Yes, I will do my very best. I'm not an IFA, I'm not a financial expert, but I will do my best. And we have lots of other wonderful women on the call that can jump in to assist. And that's the beauty, isn't it? Because each of us have been able to do a bit more research in different areas and we can actually pull what we've been learning. So Alex is saying, the irony, I'm listening in today whilst shredding old bank statements. Very good. Yeah, I think I need to do a good shred. Lovely. So thank you. Thank you for that check-in. I think it's really lovely for us to be able to do that at the start. And for any of you who feel like things have slipped a bit, it's okay. We are on... Technically, are we on week 6 now in the process? I think you might have gotten video 7. Have you got video 7 yet or video 6? No, video 6. Okay, great. So we've got another 4 weeks, got another month.
So if you have found yourself slipping, then there's plenty of time to get back on the wagon and it's all good. And the beauty of how the program has been set up, as you've seen, is it's piecemeal, little bites each time, so nothing too overwhelming. So I'm just checking. Great. So Sarah's saying, we also finally sorted out our electricity. It turned out our meter was faulty and we're being refunded £1,700. Amazing. I would have never have taken the time to look at it had I not reviewed my direct debits. That's great. Love a refund. Love it as well when I get tax rebates as well. I'm like, great. So Frida is excited about learning more on index funds. Ooh, the things we get excited about now that we probably thought we never would. Transformation is happening, ladies. Transformation is happening. So because I'm not at home, I don't have my multiple screens. I've got just my little laptop. So I'm going to do my best with multiple things open at once. Okay, lovely. So thank you for sharing. And why don't we jump in and make the most of the time and ask me some questions. So to do that, the easiest way to do that is to open up the participants box and you should have the option to raise your blue hand. And that's the best because then I can see it in the participants. So, okay, I don't see any blue hands. I see one physical hand. So let's go with the physical hand. Oh, there she is. There we go. The blue hands are popping up now. So let's go to Nicola and then we'll go to Beverly. Do you want to unmute yourself, my love?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Hi, Steph. Hi. Last time. So I've become a bit stuck since the last time. I was on track really well. But I think what's happened to me is that I've become confused and a bit daunted and overwhelmed, which means my natural instinct then is to freeze. Yeah. So, and because I think, because I like to follow things the right way as I'm supposed to, then if I don't feel like I've achieved what I should have achieved before, then I don't feel like I can move forward. So I need to just deal with that and just crack on regardless, I think. But I'd got myself set up to speak to an IFA and I'd had a couple of preliminary chats, and the conversation with her was all around me sorting out my mortgage, because the mortgage needs to be dealt with. I've got portions of my mortgage on interest only, which I need to move to repayment, and that's causing me worry. So that, you know, that needs to be done. But also I was going to talk to her about my will and pension, which I haven't really paid. Well, I haven't paid into since being self-employed. So for 12 years or so. So that's important to get that dealt with. But then after the conversations in the last call, looking at the SAS payment, pensions and some other things that I found through Starling Bank, which I've become a member of now. So a marketplace on there, which it's not through their products, but you can look at different things. And I've started looking at this thing called Vestpod as well, which is a lady that's, you know, just educating people about money that I found really helpful. I've found myself really confused about what I should be doing with the pension. And I know no one can give me advice. It ultimately has to come down to me, but it's more the fact that I'm stuck. I think that's the thing to unpick so that I can carry on moving forward. The other thing that I've got confused about now is, you know, should I be using an IFA to help me with my mortgage? I'm certain that I should. I'm certain that that is something that I really do need to get proper advice from, because I just don't see how I can do that by myself. And I just welcome anyone's experience or thoughts on that side of things.
Okay, so let's break this down. So what are the things that have got you into a state of confusion? I think it's important to be very specific about that, because that's a bit that's getting you into the ostrich mode.
Yeah, the definite state of confusion for me is the fear of making the wrong decision.
Okay.
So there's a fear for me that I already feel like I've messed up, because since being self-employed, I haven't thought about the pension. Mm-hmm. And I've sort of rolled into a security feeling of the fact that my husband has a good teaching pension, although he has had his own business for 7 years and he hasn't been paying into a pension since then. So that's, so we've just got to both grow up with that whole side of things. So
So what are the specific, so your fear, you've got a fear of making the wrong decision, and what are the decisions that have got you, let's get the very specific list of the decisions that you need to make.
Well, I need to make a decision on what pension to go for. So I know that I've got the money to put into a pension. Mm-hmm. And I know what I understand now from talking to a few people and doing my own research, how much at this stage in my life I need to be putting in each month. Mm-hmm. So that is fine. Mm-hmm. So it's not about finding the money. It's more about finding the right pension. And I suppose I feel like all my research is doing is presenting me with more options. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm the sort of personality that would be better off to use an IFA, you know, because then would it be easier for me to just pay someone to go, I think on balance, this would be best for you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
So at the moment, it sounds like you've been trying to. Okay, so before I get into that, so there's the pension. Okay, what's going to be the right pension? And should I use an IFA to help me? What is another decision that's having you feeling confused?
So then it leads on to, I thought I was all sorted with the IFA because I thought that was the answer to my prayers. Mm-hmm. But then since realizing that the IFA may have some restrictions in the pension offering, you know, and I might just be easier off saving because it's a chunk of money I'd be paying her to look at that. And I'm not loaded. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've just got to be strategic. Mm-hmm. Then that's made me start thinking, oh God, you know, am I doing the right thing getting an IFA to look at the mortgage? Mm-hmm. You know, so the other thing is I've had a call with my current mortgage advisor and, I need to be a lot clearer on things like my husband's numbers and stuff like that before we can proceed with anything. So, you know, there's that constant sort of trying to pin him down to engage with the process.
Okay.
He is engaged, but he's not engaged in the way that I am.
Okay. So we've got finding the right pension. Do I use an IFA for the pensions and or mortgage? And getting husband involved in the process.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's making you go?
No. It's
I would
underline it with just anxiety and fear of doing it wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really the key thing. So the only reason I'm doing this is to say, really, there are only three things here.
Right.
Okay. So what can happen is when we get anxious, we start going, oh, there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this. And it just feels like so much and it's overwhelming. Actually, when we break it down, it's making a decision about the pension, making a decision about whether or not you use an IFA and to what extent.
Yeah.
And being able to get your husband engaged enough so that you can get the information. Three things.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
So now it's more simple than boom, 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 boom. Okay.
Yeah.
So three things. So now there's the practical side of things. And then there's the fear that you're feeling. So let's talk about the fear, because the fear is going to be getting in the way no matter what decisions you've got going on. Right.
Yeah.
Because if we resolve these things, then you have other decisions to make when you get to the next program or the next part of the module.
Yeah.
It's like, oh gosh, another decision, fear comes back.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
So so tell me about this. So what specifically are you afraid of? If you make a wrong decision, what are you afraid will happen?
I'm afraid that I'll lose all of my money.
All of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, if I'm really honest. Yeah. I feel like, because I don't know what I'm doing, mm-hmm. What if I put all of my money, what if I choose the wrong pot for the pension and I end up with no pension?
Okay, and then what would happen if that turned out to be true?
The way where I am right now, I'm feeling like that equals being destitute.
Okay, is that true? Would you be destitute if you put all your, if you did make a wrong decision around the pension?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Is it true that if you put all your money in your pension, you would lose all your money? Oh no, if you put money into your pension, you would lose all your money. Is that true?
No.
Okay. So we have some fear based on things that are not true.
Yes.
And
but there is still there's at least the risk.
Okay. So then there's a risk.
Yeah.
Of losing some money and being put in a worse off situation.
Yes. Yes.
But not losing all your money and being destitute.
No.
Okay.
That's a completely catastrophizing the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still happening.
Yeah. So what we're doing now, though, is like for that part of you that is catastrophizing, is just to recognize, okay, those things that catastrophe is not true.
Yes.
Now there's still some risk, but where that part is going is like worst possible scenario that actually isn't true.
Yeah.
Because
if
you make a wrong decision with your pension, that's not going to be all your money. You still have other money, right? There's the equity in your home. There's your savings. There's the money that you're making, your husband making. It's not all your money.
Yeah.
Start going, okay.
Slightly smaller
thing than what I'm going to.
Yeah.
And then even if you lost the money that's in your pension, you won't be destitute because you've got the equity in your home, you've got other things and what you're setting up in as part of this process.
Yes. Yeah.
So what could be there as a risk is losing some money and being in a worse off situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then what can you do to mitigate those risks?
I don't know.
So
I don't know.
Are you sure you don't know?
I'm completely blank.
And that's a great place to be. Because that means change is possible when you're totally blank. We've got a blank slate. Great.
So if
you did know, what are some things you could do to minimize the risk of making a wrong decision around your pension?
I honestly don't know. Do you have more than one pension? I honestly don't know.
So you do know because you've already been doing it.
Okay.
So if you don't think you know enough to make a decision about a pension, who might know?
The IFA.
Ah, there you go. So you do know. And as you'll have seen on the videos, Joe recommends that you speak to, two, three IFAs and as initial conversations. So you can, and is that something that you've done?
I've spoken to one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So perhaps the next step, because that also may be feeling them, you may be feeling anxiety about not making the right decision. It could also be that on some level you're feeling that it isn't a right fit, or you're thinking, gosh, this is a lot of money to spend. But what you haven't done is gone out there and done a comparison.
No, you're right. Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
So speak to find another couple of IFAs.
Yeah.
Comparison, ask them what they're going to charge, ask them what if this is their area of expertise. And then find what you feel is going to be the right fit.
Yeah. Deep down, if I'm really honest, what I want is someone to tell me the right person to go to, which I know isn't going to happen because no one's going to put themselves, but do you know what I mean? That's what I feel like I need.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. I do the same thing when it comes to tech because I find it not, it's a combination of slightly overwhelming and it's not my area of expertise or interest. I don't want to spend lots of time researching it. So can somebody just tell me the best microphone to buy for my videos? And I have to kind of force myself to go that extra step and do a bit of research myself.
Yeah.
It's really simple. What you can do is you can ask somebody who they recommend, get a few people. So you speak to three IFAs. You're actually, you're smart, you're taking the right steps. You just got down a little dark alley there for a moment of fear, but it's all good.
Yeah.
And once you speak to three IFAs, you then can compare them and go, which was the one that feel like energetically from my sorceress feels like the right fit?
You
got tangible, practical stuff. Let me compare their fees.
Yes.
And what are they telling me about pensions that seems to to make sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've gone through a little dark alley there. Can I just ask, I suppose as well, the other thing is, if I were to use an IFA to get advice on pension, I obviously don't have to go with their advice, do I? Every conversation, you're learning something.
Exactly. You just want to be seeing around, you know, what you don't necessarily want to be doing is racking up high fees to have conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the other piece I just want to cover off on pensions, because you, and again, I don't know your specific situation, but what an IFA is not going to be able to advise you on is on a SAS pension, because it's an unregulated product and they can only advise on regulated.
Yeah.
So you will need to have a conversation with somebody else on that. And as I said in the first session, this, you know, it would only make sense to set up a SAS if you're going to be able to transfer a decent amount into there that will make the fees that you might have to pay to do that worth it. And or you could see, I can make contributions, and then you have the education to be able to do something with it.
So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that I could start off working with an IFA, get a pension sorted, but then further down the line look into the SAS at that point, is it? Would you say that that's...
Well, what I would say is maybe have a conversation with a SAS provider now. I can provide you some details of someone to have a conversation.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that it can be in this process, because what you don't want to do is pay extra fees now to pay more fees later if it could work for you now.
Yeah.
So then when it comes to mortgages now, and I would love to have... you know, the rest of your opinion, like if you have experience in this, I personally, what immediately came to mind is I wouldn't go to an IFA for mortgage advice. I'd go to a mortgage broker who does this day in, day out.
Oh, how interesting. Because I ruled out the mortgage person that I normally speak to because I thought that they wouldn't be able to help me as well as an IFA based on...
Well, if you think about it, I mean, there might be IFAs that are great at this, but then they're doing multiple things. This isn't their area of expertise.
Okay, but if they have someone that does just the mortgages for them, would that be? Okay?
I mean, if they've got an expert, somebody who's doing this, and this is not, I'm not giving you advice here. I'm just sort of
this is so helpful. Kind
of logical thing of like, I'm going to go to the expert who's doing this day in, day out, because there's so many different permutations. Plus, there are mortgage brokers out there who do not charge you because they get paid
on
the products that you know by the providers, right? So if you want to minimize your fees, you can connect with a mortgage broker who isn't going to charge you. They do amazing work, but they get their fees elsewhere, right? Which is
I have someone who I've used before who was great, but for some reason I decided that because they weren't charging me, they weren't independent, and therefore there was some problem with that. And so I think this is a thing, I'm so green, like I'm so naive about all of this stuff, you know, at the moment. It feels a little bit like a minefield when you start digging into it, and I think I'm just getting more confused the more.
And actually, this is why I'm unpicking it. And I'm taking some time because I know that I am working with you, but I'm also going to be answering questions other women have. So I would speak to two or three mortgage brokers.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I would do on that piece. Yeah. And they aren't necessarily, you know, because they will look at different products. It's just they have their, you know, whoever's going to be, whatever product they're using, they get their fees, but ask them.
Yeah.
Explain to me how you get paid, and be honest and say, listen, I was just a bit worried that means you're not independent.
Yeah.
And you might be trying to sell me a particular product, and get them to answer that question for you.
Yeah.
You say, do you have access to the full marketplace, or are you only working with a couple of providers?
Yeah.
Ask them.
Yeah.
So we've got your IFA, your pensions piece ticked off.
Yeah.
You're going to speak to a few mortgage brokers and do a comparison there.
Yeah.
And then in terms of getting your husband involved, what specifically is the challenge or the blocker there?
Okay. He's really happy for me to do all this stuff. But he is, we have both been the problem with our relationship is we're both identical in our approach to money, which is to not really deal with it. Mm-hmm. So there's no sort. So I'm finally stepping up in my mid-40s to kind of get this stuff done.
Oh, good.
So when I try talking to him, because he's very busy and because he's actually very quick with numbers and I'm not, he'll just throw things at me very quickly. And for him, he's got a very male brain that's a very, you know, he doesn't doubt himself at all or doubt anything, and he can just get things happening and doing. So I think there's a degree of him thinking me that maybe I'm being a bit of a fusspot flapper about everything that's going on at the moment. You know, I keep walking around the house going, what have we done? We're all so late with all this. We've totally fucked up our lives. We're going to be end up destitute. This is what I'm going through with myself. And he's going, what are you talking about? You're being insane. We're absolutely fine. So we've got those dynamics going on.
Yeah.
And then to try and just pin him down, he's not a detail man with what's going on with his business finances. So
this is probably also triggering him slightly because he feels
100%. And I'm wondering if I need to, you know, in a way, just we have a conversation with the accountant and go through it as a sort of the three of us in some way, so that I can get what I need. But that involves making an appointment and him having the time to be able to do it, because his work's been really significantly affected this year. So he's just very, very sort of obsessed with working, which is totally fair enough.
So here's what I'd say is let's drop that part of you that's feeling like you messed up, that it's too late, blah, blah. You've got a room, like a Zoom room full of women here, who some of whom are older than you and just beginning to look at this stuff now. Mm-hmm. Sure, there's some that are younger. We're all in the same boat, right? So the important thing is that you're looking at it and you're handling it. So let's just put that to one side. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, whatever age you happen to be, if you start looking at it now, you're always going to be in a better situation than if you wait. So
yes,
so you are doing it.
Yeah.
And you're taking it step by step. Let go of the pressure, let go of the disappointment that you haven't been paying into your pension for 12 years.
Yeah.
You are where you are and you're doing great.
Yeah.
When you start to feel anxious and, oh my gosh, and what have you done? What I'd recommend you do is you bring it to your wealth buddies, some of the women you've connected here, and let the anxiety kind of like process that with your tribe here. I would encourage you not necessarily to sporadically and randomly be spewing that on your husband, because it sounds like he's already got a lot on his plate. He's got a level of anxiety, and that is going to feel maybe overwhelming. And as you said, you know, flapping and all the rest. And from masculine energy, if he is in masculine energy more than feminine energy, it's like, wow, there's a problem I can't solve. You know, I don't know what to do here, and retreat.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
So this is what we talk about of one of many. When, you know, there are times where we need to have that self responsibility. When, you know, when we're in feminine energy, or even beyond that, where we go, okay, I'm going to take this stuff to my circle, to my women, to process. And then when you want to have a conversation with them, make an appointment. Say, I really need to speak to you about this. Let's set aside a time when would be good to speak, so that he, masculine energy, likes to, you know, they are, anyone in masculine energy focuses on things very modally. So one thing at a time, they tend to be in the box. So if you've come in when your husband is thinking about something else, in the middle of something else, and gone, oh, I need this, I need that. Actually, masculine energy doesn't deal with interruptions particularly well. And so what you want to do is make an appointment so that they can be prepared.
Yeah, that won't work, because I've done that. I've tried that. But what will work, I think, thinking about this now through processing it, if I make an appointment with the accountant, he can't stand the accountant up. So we can have a conversation with the accountant where we just go over, and I can just say, look, I just want to know his income for the last 3 years. I've got to sort it out for the mortgage. And then I think that might be a way that I can do it. Do you think that?
Yeah. And it's as much as when you're going through this process, if you're having wins and successes, like, I'm just using Sarah as an example. Oh my gosh, we're getting, you know, I looked at our direct debits, and actually our electricity company has been overcharging us. We're going to get that money. share those things. Make it sound exciting, not like this overwhelming, scary thing that is sending you off into a tailspin, because that makes him less likely to want to investigate it. Yeah. And it makes it more anxiety driving for him.
Yes.
So yeah, make an appointment with the accountant, but make sure he doesn't feel like he's going to be ambushed. Make it say, I'm going to be setting up an appointment with the accountant, and sell it into him in terms of what he can also get out of this. Because otherwise there's a danger. He might feel, oh my goodness, now they're going to do a pincer move on me.
I'll watch how I don't think he will feel like that, but you never know what's going on in someone's head, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. Thank you.
Great. You're so welcome.
Can you give me that SAS person's, I think you mentioned it before, but I never took it down. So
yeah, I'll connect. Yeah, I'll type it into the chat box later, or find a way to get it across to you. It's probably great if I make an introduction, just because then they know it's coming from me, because I've got a good relationship with them.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll take a note of that. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you, my dear. Is that good?
I'm sorry to take up so much time, everybody.
I think you've helped others as well through all that. So that's all good.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And thank you, the rest of you. I did want to take time on that, because those are things I think that will be helpful for all of us. So let's go to Beverly.
Hello there.
Hello.
Nicola. So I've got three simple questions, really. As I said in my intro, I've got little time at the moment, so I'm feeling I'm slipping on keeping up with the course, even though I'm wanting desperately to keep up with it. So I am keeping up with watching the videos, but I'm at such a backward position that it's taken me a long time to do all the practical work. And I just wondered whether, in the same way as with Living the Change, there's a nice checklist of things to work through, there's anything similar for this programme, because it'd be really useful to know that we're not missing anything if we do get behind. That's all.
There isn't. However, what you could do is you could create your own version of a checklist by going on to, with each video, there's a summary of what's covered off.
Right.
In bullets. So you could use that as a semi checklist.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So
when you go in and click on the module, this is what we're going to cover, and you can go, oh yeah, I've done that.
That's great. Secondly, I'm self-employed, but I've got three different strands of business, and I'm really, really bad at knowing how much I should be paying myself from it in terms of a proportion. So my main business has actually got the most overheads as well. One of the others is nearly all profit. But it's difficult for me. I don't know whether there's a recommended amount that I should be, as a minimum, considering paying myself each month.
Mm. And so do you operate these through a limited company, or is it all...
in all three cases?
That's a question for an accountant.
Right. Okay. So there's
there will be tax implications on that, and various implications that is going to depend on your specific situation. So if there is a rule of thumb, it's going to be an accountant that will be able to tell that to you. Do you have an accountant that you currently use for your business?
No. At the moment I'm still sort of working businesses up, so it's very much supplementary income to my husband's, so I'm below the threshold currently.
So you could look at some, and I think I've mentioned this before, maybe a lower cost solution for that. So I use Crunch Accounting, for example, and I have a limited company that I use it for, and they provide the software accounting platform, but they also have accountants as part of the package. And you can also use them as self-employed. And I'm paying, I think, I should know this off the top of my head, but about 70 something pounds a month to be able to use their service. And that includes all my corporation stuff and so forth, and access to their accountants.
Right.
So when you look at it over the course of the year, it's like, okay, so that's quite a chunk. But because you can pay monthly, actually, it's a really affordable way to get access to accounting advice. And for somebody like you, from what I'm hearing you say, it's supplemental income. You may not necessarily, you know, be earning a huge amount and be nervous about paying for an independent accountant and having that expense. So if you look at something like Crunch, see what competitors there are out to Crunch as well, because there could be others that provide a very similar thing. It's a combination of the accounting software, but also having their accountants on hand, and they're super, super helpful. And they would be able to look at this sort of thing and help you with the analysis of that.
Lovely, thank you. And I suppose I'm not quite sure what I'm asking, but again, my pension, because I was at home and caring for a lot of years, I haven't currently paid into a pension for a very long time, and now I'm over 50 and thinking, help. And so really wanting to know where I should start on. I've got a personal pension that I haven't paid into, but whether that's the bit where I go for pension advice.
Find a good IFA, and also ask yourself the question and think about this, and also ask the IFA to give their advice. And again, do the comparison, like I said to Nicola, to speak to a few so you can get some a comparison. And then look at, you want to be thinking, okay, so I'm 50, did you say, or 55? 50.
I'm 52.
52. Is it worth me putting this money into a pension now? Because retirement age isn't that far off technically. And certainly most pensions allow you to take 25% out when you're 55. Well, all pensions do. I think that's the law, and with tax free. And the conversation that I would be having with my IFA is, actually, is that going to be good use of my money? Or could I invest that myself somewhere else and actually get better returns?
Yeah.
And just as an example, because once it goes into the pension, it's being locked away, you can't access it, and somebody else has full control over it. And all you can usually do is make an assessment on the risk of investments. You know, you can choose to invest your money in more higher risk, middle risk, or low risk. That's usually, I mean, sometimes they give you a little bit more scope, but effectively they're managing it for you. Okay. And if you think in the number of years that you have until retirement, is that actually going to be worth it? Or, you know, I, for example, put my financial freedom, and I know Joe doesn't like this word, but you know, it's the kind of investment pot, my grow pot, that's what I'm looking for, my grow pot, into a index tracker, ISA index tracker. And that, you know, there's always risk, but with an index tracker, you're spreading that risk, because it's, as I explained in one of the previous calls, across the top whatever companies. So even if, yes, the risk is that the stock market has a massive crash. Like I've got mine in the global index fund. If the entire stock market across the world crashes, okay, well, and you know, no one's going to be safe. But then your pension fund usually is invested in the stock market anyway, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have it in your own ISA that you can, the one I have, I can pull out money whenever I want.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I've got it in there, and I set it up actually this year, and I've had 30% growth in that time. So it allows me to have the benefit of that growth whilst also having the flexibility around being able to access money if I want to, and all the rest to do other things. And of course, I'm not going to take that money to spend it on cars and wine. It's always going to be investment money. So you want to be having that kind of conversation and helping them to do the, or getting them to help you to do that thinking around it. Cause sometimes it is a little complicated, because you have to sit down and think, okay, if I was going to contribute this amount for this number of years into my pension, what's that likely to get me? What are the downsides of that? I'm not going to be able to access my money. Somebody else controls it. They're putting it into investments that, you know, I may not agree with. And actually, if I was to do the same thing in my own index tracker or ISA, what have you, then what would be the comparable? Mm-hmm. Especially with an ISA, because it's got the tax-free benefits. Yeah, so again, I'm saying all of this stuff not as advice, but
no.
you know, to get your thinking working in a way so that we don't go, oh, I should get a pension, because actually maybe you shouldn't, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's helpful. Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yes, because in fact, I gave my husband sort of similar advice, because he's just moved jobs and he was trying to work out whether to put a lump sum on his previous pension. But in fact, I worked out that it just wasn't worth it for the benefits coming back, and yeah, we were investing it elsewhere.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
See, you know this stuff already.
But that's great. Thank you very much.
I get it. It can get confusing and we kind of get down the track. That's why it's great to jump on these calls and go, okay.
Right. Well, that was easy because it was a very defined amount and I knew what the end result was for that.
Yeah.
But when it's the whole thing, I think I've got 15 years left, speaking, to invest for a pension of some sort. And so what's the best way forward?
Exactly. It could be and also be thinking, you know, I don't know if you have any desire or feel drawn to do anything in the property world. You know, there's other options for you to be thinking, okay, if I want to be, you know, maybe reverse engineer it. Well, how much money would I ideally like to have to be able to retire on? Where am I now? And explore what are the different ways I could get myself to that point, and be really open-minded, and get a sense of, you know, what risk tolerance you have. And I think we're going to talk about risk tolerance in the later video as well. And that might be a better way to approach it.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
So here, we've got some great things in the chat channel. So Annie's saying, regarding paying yourself, my accountant advised me that they worked out tax on pay and then what I should pay myself as a dividend, which were at a lower tax rate. Yeah. So that's obviously when you've got a limited company. When you're working for yourself, you won't have dividend tax. Dividend tax is not bad. I mean, it's, you know, taxes are good. That's the thing. It's what's really interesting is, you know, my wealth mentor always said, he was always surprised at people that would complain about having to pay tax. He said, paying tax is a good thing. You know, if you are in a situation where you're having to pay lots of tax, that means you're making lots of money. So it's good, you know, embrace it. Cause we have this real thing of like, oh no, tax. It's like, it's all good. But they shifted the dividend tax rules a few years ago and I was less happy about that. So, and Annie's saying that there's also free agent if you're using NatWest, and loads of free tools you can use and then pay less of an annual accounting fee. Okay, great. So she's got a link in there. So that's really helpful. Thank you. Frida, is that service only for the UK? Which one were you referencing? Because I don't know when you popped that. Are you talking about Crunch? Oh, I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it is. So see if there's an equivalent where you are. And Anne is saying September, October edition of Ethical Consumer deals with ethical banking and investments. Lovely. Yeah, because I know that several of you want to be able to do some ethical investing. Oh, there we go. She's showing. Ah, lovely. Choosing a bank with a moral compass. We can't speak. Thank you, darling. That's lovely. So next up, let's go to Annie. Annie O'Rourke, if you want to unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi. So I was really interested in the kind of starting to do small investments. We've got, we've just been, what we've been doing is going through and just starting doing the budgets and all of that kind of stuff. We've got loads of house renovations. So a lot of our savings are going towards that at the moment. We're still trying to do that, making sure we've got the little jam jar of doing some investment, but we're talking like maybe 100 or so a month, because at the moment I don't want to get in debt over the renovation, so we're just clearing those every month, which is a nice place to be in, but I'm really keen to play with investment and learn. I've just been doing just research on just those kind of FTSE 100 top, you know, following the indexes, and there's loads of options. Obviously it's not something I want to talk to an IFA about, because I'm not talking about investing huge. But I didn't know if there was anything that you know, one of many or anyone can just advise as just something to kind of start with. And you know, when we're talking about risk, you know, versus reward, I'm not so worried about, you know, I've already said to myself, I'll play with this little pot and see if I get good at it. And so if I, you know, I'm not worried about, I haven't got that kind of stress of losing it, but I would still like to be doing the right thing if I can. Mm. And also my daughters are, you know, they're coming up to the age where they'll get access to trust funds and things like that as well from inheritance, which again, for them, a nice place to be. But I'd really love to be able to just say, you know, why don't you start to think about this kind of stuff when you get to the right age? These are some fairly safe ways to learn about investment. So I just wondered whether anyone just had any advice on how to start playing with it. When it's, you know, it's still a significant amount, I know, in a household, but it's not something that is, I feel like I need IFA advice over or anything like that. So
did you, which good. Mentoring group were you in?
I actually was talking to people about property investment, but
okay. Then your woman is it Nikki who was with? Yeah, what you type of, my brain is just having brain freeze. Can you type it into the chat channel, Shari? So Nikki, she specifically was doing a roundtable mentor on investing in small amounts.
Okay.
I think she's going to be a really great person for you to speak to. Nikki Ramskill, that's it.
Ramskill. Okay, great. And are we allowed to just reach out to them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant. And I think you should have had an email with all the mentors' details in after the event. So go through your emails and have a look. And I think she's going to be a really good place for you to start and get some information. And I'm sure she'll be happy to have an informal chat with you about that. And you can see what, you know, how she works. And then if there's anyone else who has been on this journey of investing in small amounts that can type in some advice, then please do that. I can't give any specific advice because the truth be told, I spoke to somebody who works in the investment world who invests himself, and he recommended something that he and his wife have been investing in for quite some time.
Okay.
And what he did recommend was this ISA wrapper around an index tracker. So you can only pay, and you've got the threshold. I think it's 17,200 per year that you can put in. But then the beauty of ISAs is it's tax-free. But it's invested in a global index tracker. So that could be a really... Oh, yeah, she's the female money doctor. There you go. That's Nikki.
Thank you.
That's in the chat channel.
Thanks, Shari.
So also be thinking about that option for you, like looking into... an ISA wrapper around an index tracker. So the platform I use is called Charles Stanley. Now, honestly, if you just go onto there, for somebody who's maybe more of a novice, and I count myself in there when it comes to investing in the stock market, it's not the most intuitive and easy. It's not set up for people who are, you know, your average lay person just starting out. So that's why having somebody that you can speak to that will be able to interpret that for you and point you in the right direction is going to be really good.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Yeah, you're so welcome. Great. So who's next? So Fiona, do you want to unmute yourself? Are you still there? There
yes,
you are.
I'm here.
Hello. Sorry.
Yoga classes sitting on the floor.
You're a little bit quiet, love. Could you move closer to your microphone?
Can you hear me better now? My question was really about I've been investing regularly in something that my IFA set up for quite some time. That goes into some kind of ISA. And I mean, it's stocks and shares, not cash. I don't know whether it's index tracker or not. I'm afraid to say I leave it to him. And I pay into a pension similarly like that. But I'm about to inherit some money. And I don't know whether to just do something different with it. And I was just curious where you were saying about like invest these things yourself. And I don't even know where to start looking at options of what does that mean, invest it myself? Is it just finding one of these sort of ISA wrapper things, in which case I probably couldn't do that because I already pay into an ISA, so you're only allowed one. I'm just a bit curious. Because I mean, I started off in the property group on that day, but I bailed out because I had a query about the IFA, and the property one was she started off quite complex, and I thought, oh my God, this is too deep and I don't have that much money. I'm not going to get that much money out of it. I could probably possibly buy a small place in Wales, but I don't think that's a huge investment actually right now. It would probably sit there for years.
So have you watched the latest video that in the 10-week turnaround?
I've got the wrong glasses on as well because I was just doing yoga and I can hardly see. I haven't, no, not yet.
Okay, so basically it's really good to help clarify your thinking around this. You know, it talks about the different levels of investor and the journey that you want to go on to move through it. And what I'm not suggesting that anyone, I'm not trying to recommend that anyone should be investing themselves over, you know, doing it with somebody else. I'm in that specific situation for Beverly. It's because putting it into a pension fund at her age may not be the best, given that she hasn't been paying into for a while. The amount of growth that would come out of it and the loss of control may not be worth it. But in the latest video, Joe really breaks that journey down, and also the different types of investments. So effectively you've got, you know, you can invest in business, either small businesses or large businesses, and that's stocks and shares. You can invest in property, and then you can make loans. So those are three simple ways, if you really simplify it, buckets to be able to grow your money. And if you're not knowing what to do and you want to have more control, then the first step is education. And so if you feel, and it's best to go with the thing that naturally draws you the most. So if you have more of an affinity to property because you understand bricks and mortar and the physicality of it, then get some property education. And there's lots of free stuff out there. Lots of people that be running free webinars. There's lots of great books. Simon Zucci wrote a great introductory book and he keeps updating it. So you might want to read that as a starter for 10 to get a flavor of it, because actually there's a lot of property strategies that you can do that don't require you to have a lot of money, but they do require time. And that's kind of where I started getting caught up, because I didn't necessarily have a huge pot. But then to be able to do strategies where you're using other people's money, you do need to have some time to dedicate to that. Another low cost.
I don't have really at the moment.
Yeah. But you could be getting involved in the property investing world and lending money to property investors that do have the time and growing your money that way. That could be an option. Or maybe you want to continue on the index tracker. So it's really about educating yourself so that you can make an informed decision if you want to. Otherwise, you could, what I would say, and again, I think it's something that's going to come in the later videos, is I think it's important to have some level of diversification. You'd be putting yourself in a fairly risky situation, like, you know, when Nicola was talking about earlier, if you put all your money in one thing, because if that thing doesn't work out, then there is a risk that you lose all of your future wealth, you know, what you want to be able to. And I know you work in employment right now, but you know, you're setting yourself up so that at some point you'll be able to support yourself. Mm. You want some level of diversification. By diversification means you're investing in a few different things.
Mm.
I'm not, you know, I can't advise on how many or to what extent. Even if you're investing in property, and I think I've said this before when I was speaking to Emma about her property journey, is thinking about even diversifying within property, because actually there's different, if you think about it now, residential property is probably still a great investment. Commercial property right now, given the pandemic, is a little bit risky if you've been investing in office buildings, and most people are starting to think, well, God, companies are going, we don't need our office buildings anymore. So within one category, there can be different types of investments you could have in stocks and shares, you know, investing in your tracker versus investing in one specific company. But make sure that there is some spread so that you're okay. So for you, it's about getting enough education so that you can get a sense of which area would you like to focus on for your investments, and whether it's to what extent you want to be doing that yourself, or getting somebody else to help you with it, given that you work full time and
have enough on my plate.
Yeah.
So
you might.
So the options, when you say, you know, wanting to like kind of invest it yourself, those are pretty much the options, the loans, the property, the
business
stocks and stocks, but business stocks and shares. Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, yes. When we take it in its most simple form.
Yeah.
Those are the three key ways in which you can be investing to grow your money.
Yeah, but they will all require having some education in those areas, or and or working with someone who knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
He's not necessarily my IFA, because he knows his area very well, but he probably doesn't know the other areas so well.
Exactly. So do an initial bit of education so you can pick one and dive a little bit more deeply into it, and then get a level of education. Right now, don't try and become an expert in all those three areas.
No.
But you do want to do a bit of research so you can decide which is the one that feels like the best fit for you. And then you can go down that track, get some education in that specific area, and then you decide to what extent you want to be personally involved in it. So I'm just going to use property as an example, because it's what I'm familiar with. You know, it can go from going out there and doing your own deals, like buying somewhere, doing it up, selling it on, or buying somewhere, doing it up and renting it out, and you're doing the whole thing. It could be you not having your own funds, but working with other people's money to be able to do that. Or it could be more of a passive investor where you're letting other people do the work, and they've got the expertise, and you're providing them with funds. Either you lend them the money, or sometimes you can also go in on the deal on an equity basis, because that's what you've agreed with them. But so you've got the money, they've got the expertise, and you do some kind of deal so that you can get the benefit. But you still want to know enough about property so that you can make the right decision around that, and be able to do due diligence, because it's really important that you do due diligence on anyone you're going to be working with in the property space, to make sure that, one, they know what they're doing, they've got the experience, two, the risks are mitigated and so forth, to protect yourself. Okay, so that's your first step. Do a sweep to figure out which is the area you're going to focus on, and then go more deeply into that area. Okay.
Is there some sort of one-stop place where I can read a bit about all of those options?
Not that I'm aware of. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, though. But if anyone else is aware of that, then pop that in the chat channel to give Fiona some support.
Thank you.
You're welcome, my love. Good. So let me just see. There's some questions that have been popped in here. So yes, it is being recorded. Wendy's saying, can I open two stocks and shares ISAs in one tax year, but limit the amount I contribute to both to the 20K? I think it's 17K, but yes. So Tamsin's answered that. Great. Lovely. So who else has got a question? Go into the participants box, find your blue hand and pop your hand up. We've got another half an hour, so no questions. Oh, there we go. Anne, unmute yourself, my love.
I was just going to say, Tamsin's offered to share her experience of stocks and shares.
Lovely.
And there's several people who say they'd like to hear that, so I certainly would.
Yeah, would you want to share a little bit?
First and foremost, I'm not an IFA, I'm not a stockbroker or anything like that. But I think what's kind of helpful to understand is that in the same way that you can have different strategies investing in property, there are different strategies within stocks and shares. And So you might think of investing in property as buying a buy to let and renting it out, but actually there's loads of other things that you could do. And I think traditionally we believe that, you know, investing in the stock market is about picking either a fund or a really good blue chip company or something and buying it, you know, like, wouldn't it have been great if it all bought in Apple when it was a startup and then sitting and holding it for years and bingo. But I, about 10 years ago, did some free training with, have you heard of Robert Kiyosaki and Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that whole thing? I did their property one and I did the trading one. May have done something else, I can't remember. They are a big sell for their whole kind of 1 week course and program and stuff. But actually what I learned in their sort of intro was really, really good, and it got me started. And it's not just about buying it when it's, you know, Apple's a startup and then selling 15 years later and, you know, you're a millionaire. It's because the market goes up and down all the time. And if you learn to read the charts, it's not difficult actually, once somebody just points out, and if you learn to understand about, you don't have to understand the whole of the stock market, you might just look at a particular sector or something. And then it's quite easy, actually. You can set up an account. I use Hargreaves Lansdown. I don't think they're any better or any different probably from loads of other options. You can put money into a stocks and shares fund in that. So you could put a certain amount into a stocks and shares fund with that, and then just put the rest of your ISA allowance into a different stocks and shares thing. And then you could just start with like £500 or something, buying something, having a strategy. My strategy was to basically, when I had got a 5% return on that investment, I would sell it. And so that might be over 3 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, it might take much longer, but that was my strategy. And you can automate that. You just set an alert in the system. And so you buy it and you make 5% is more than we make on money in the bank. And then you sell it. It might keep going up or it might go down, but it doesn't matter because it's done what you want it to do. And then you buy it again. When you read the chart, it's, you think, okay, that I'm going to buy it. And then you, and it's just about getting quite, it doesn't matter if it keeps going up after you sell it. Doesn't matter if it goes down, because you know what your strategy is, and you can, it's just, does that answer, is that kind of helpful?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and it's been really successful. I have, and also to understand a bit about dividends and when they come. And so, to understand the impact that will have on share prices and when you shouldn't sell and when you should. But it's pretty simple stuff that you just need to learn those bits and do it. And I have dividends from my shares, having started from like nothing 10 years ago. The dividends pay my mortgage, and there's a good income and there's a big asset there, which has just developed over time.
Lovely. Thank you, Tamsin, for sharing that. So the key thing is, as Joe said in the latest video that you've got, is to decide if you feel drawn to this type of investing. Because this isn't what Tamsin just shared, isn't going to be everyone. For some people, even hearing that might have sounded quite overwhelming. For others, you might be thinking, oh, how exciting. That sounds like fun, right? So if you feel drawn an affinity with stocks and shares and being able to read charts and wrap your head around the numbers and going with the principles, then great. Get yourself educated. It's really important that you get some good education, and you get education from people who have a proven track record of having success in that strategy. And start small and play around whilst you are developing that skill set and build up your confidence with it. Definitely not one to chuck all of your investments in. I'm sure Tamsin built up over time, having a bit of a play, building up of confidence. And and take baby steps with it. And it may be a process of initially you start off with somebody doing most of the management, you're playing around with a smaller part. As you gain confidence over the years, you can start taking more and more control and so forth. But certainly at the get-go, make sure that you are getting advice and education on that. So for stocks and shares trading, which providers are good in terms of low transaction costs and access to market information? So again, that's something that you'll need to research, Wendy. I know that the one I use, because I was looking specifically for that, my friend advised me, the specific fund run by Charles Stanley Direct has fairly low fees, but I'm not advising that that's the one that you should use. You should absolutely speak to somebody who does know and do some research. That if you Google it, there's going to be plenty of information to do a comparison. But what's great is you already have the key principles, right? And you know what you're going to be looking for. But if anyone else has other recommendations, then do pop that into the chat channel. Lubna.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to say, just for anyone else out there who, I've only ever been on one of these before. I've never spoken or anything. And the whole thing, I started with Be Wealth and the coaching certificate and Lead the Change as well, all at once, more or less. And at a time when I'm going through a divorce, I've just moved home, etc. So it's been a lot. But for anyone else out there that feels that it's been quiet because they haven't done anything yet, I'm here too. So I just wanted to say you're not alone. And being on this today has actually helped me a lot already. And I feel as though there's hope for me. You know, I've just, so thank you for that, everybody. And you, of course, Steph. I've just sold my home. I've moved into a new rented place in London. So I've made a big move in my life. I have some money in the bank now, which is wonderful. It's not enough for me to just go out and buy a property. Mm-hmm. But it's something, and I'm grateful. I'm giving myself a little bit of a window now to decide what I want to do with my life, etc. Mm-hmm. So the education part, what you said today about educating myself in different areas, because I've buried my head in the sand about finances for much of my life, is really invaluable. So I think I just wanted to say, in case anyone else has been quiet there because they haven't sort of been doing everything, and I haven't got the jam jars or anything, just that you're not alone and we can do this.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And then so you have shown up today and you are recommitting. So what are you going to commit to do in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think that educating yourself and finding and thinking about where I'm drawn to, where I'm going to start, because I've got to do something with this money. It's just sitting in a savings account right now. I think what Tamsin said was good. I'm going to look at that. I do own another property. I don't know if I haven't done particularly well with that property. It's just about breaking even. Every month it's paying the mortgage. The rent is paying the mortgage. At just deciding where I'm drawn to and starting to educate myself. I'm also going to start looking at the videos and everything because I haven't done anything yet. I feel as though I've just landed because I moved a week ago.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I'm surrounded with boxes and everything still. But yeah, I'll just get started.
That's a great place to start. You know, start watching the videos. And do them week by week. You know, you may find if you have a bit more time, you can accelerate a little bit. And because some of them actually don't have that much homework around it. And I mean, the resource is always there for you. So the key thing is to get started, because I think sometimes when we are falling behind, then we have this mental block of, oh my gosh, I'm behind, and we feel too overwhelmed to start. And actually, it's really not that bad once we get started. So as soon as you can, maybe even today, maybe even straight after this call, just jump on and watch the first video. I think it's only about 20 minutes, and you will feel so much better for it. And then know that you you know, you don't need to get to your, so other women have are further along because they have, they just happen to be further on, that's their journey. So don't feel, oh my gosh, I've just been hearing this person share that about that, and now I should be already be thinking about pensions or what have you. Start where you are and go piece by piece. Already from what you're sharing, you're in a great position because you've got some money to invest. You've got an existing property which isn't performing. And then, you know, there's the option perhaps to have a look at that and think, well, actually, would it be better off for me to sell it and then and reinvest it elsewhere if that's not a great property? If there's going to be some, if you've had capital growth, if there's some equity that you could pull out of that property.
Yeah.
That's where it's great to, I would say, to get some basic property education. And there's some great providers out there. I mentioned on previous calls, so there's Simon Zucci's Property Investor Network, PIN is one, Progressive Property is another education company here in the UK, and you may find other smaller ones. And there'll be some free stuff that you can start to consume. Like I said, Simon Zucci's book is a really great place to start, just to kind of read it and start to get aware of some ideas around this. Because even if you're not necessarily going to go off and set up a whole property company, you already have property. It's something that you know, and you want to be able to at least maximize what you've got.
Yeah.
That's something down the line.
Yeah. Great. Great. So,
thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And your place looks lovely.
Thank you.
I can see. Great. So, what have we got? Okay, so Heather's sharing. I'm sorting out my baby's, I'm sorting my baby's sleep out so that I can stop chimping out, catastrophizing, and then we'll rattle through the jobs, mainly tidying up the jam jars and then researching how much to charge, some private practice and self-employed. Lovely. So Sal was asking, after 10 weeks, do we still have access to the material if we haven't finished? Yes, absolutely. This should be lifetime access from what I'm aware of. So you can redo it. Yeah, I've got nodding heads going. I know people who've redone the 10 weeks a few times, actually, because there's always some more to learn. There's always good intentions. We don't complete it all. So absolutely. I don't know who N is, N Grow Cox. So your first name isn't there. Thank you for your share. She says, love, no, my heart sinks a bit when the reminders pop up for the 10-week wealth turnaround, as I know I haven't done anything since inputting my details. That's all good. So my procrastination is currently based on general disorganization throughout all areas of my life. I'm revamping my spare room into a dedicated room. Lovely. And if that's something you want any support with, my lovely, then just pop your hand up, because I'd be happy to have a chat with you to help you get a little bit of organization, at least on this call, to know what your next step should be. So if you feel comfortable, then put your blue hand up and then I'll come to you. For now, I'm going to come to Frida. You want to unmute yourself?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Steph. Hi, everybody. So I definitely sharing a lot of feelings similarly to what Lovna was describing. I don't feel guilty about being behind, but I think I do have some stuckness. Like I was writing a little list of things that I need to do that I have been putting off. So it might be good just to get some clarity around where I'm feeling stuck. So basically at the moment I've been living in the Philippines for nearly 3 years. I've been trying to get my coaching business up and running. So I'm earning a very small income, but majority of my expenses actually is coming from my savings. Mm-hmm. So I have some money in a term deposit, and every time when it turns over, when it finishes, you know, 6 months or however long, I take out a certain percentage of it, and that becomes my allowance. But the money is coming from an Australian bank account. So there's been all this every month transfer the money from the Australian bank account into the Filipino bank account, and a lot of the expenses are all in cash. So it's been really hard to keep track of expenses. So I think what I've been feeling stuck about is how do I go from the system that, like, there wasn't really any system. It was just like we'd run out of money, and then I transfer money from my Australian bank account into the Filipino one, and then the cash would just go off. Mm. So I think the stuckness is around coming to a system where I can keep track of things. Yes.
So it sounds also there's one of your main challenges is that currently you don't, it's been 3 years and you don't have enough income from your practice to be able to support yourself. Mm. So you're at insecure instability.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And so what have you considered to get yourself out of that?
We've currently invested in some support to actually get my business up and running, because before I was doing everything on my own and that was taking a lot of time. And then when COVID happened, some of the income went away. So there's definitely been a real ramp up in terms of getting my business up and going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you open in the meet? Because there may well be. Are you open to, in the meantime, getting some kind of part-time or temporary work that might bring a bit of stability whilst you do that? Or
I haven't quite thought about that. I know that it's been mentioned before in the Be Loved retreat.
It's definitely something that we cover in Be Fulfilled more than Be Wealth, because Be Fulfilled is about the mate phase. But we do talk about the fact that that if you are in instability, it's about finding a way to get yourself to stability, because when you're not, your options are restrained. And actually, that's rather than the system, that's the real issue. It's like being able to have enough money to be able to support yourself. And so what I would suggest is putting attachment to making your business work aside, or putting pride aside, putting anything, and just go, okay, you know how we made that list of 50 ways you would have started, 50 ways to be able to earn some money, and think creatively about what are some ways that you could actually bring some income in now that would make things easier for you as you're setting up your business. You don't have to put it to one side completely. And think, well, could there be a way of me earning income? You do that sort of any way to earn an income, and then go, okay, well, what are the ways from that I could earn an income at that would also help contribute to my business success? So if you think about somebody like me, I am a one of many trainer. That's not what I do exclusively. Now it's slightly different because I'm not choosing to do that because I need to do it, but being a one of many trainer is really great for my business. I'm a contractor for one of many, so I'm not an employee, but I'm part of the team, and being part of the team as a trainer means I get trained up by Joe, who's one of the best speakers and trainers there is in the planet. And so I'm improving my skills. I am able to, those skills, I then, improving myself as a one of many trainer means I improve myself as one of many, as a trainer in my own business, even though I'm already, I was already established, already loads of experience. It's just taking me to that next level. It's also giving me access to a community of women, some of whom have come across to work with me privately. So the reason I share that is there could be ways for you to find income now that would also support you with your coaching business. Because I know sometimes you get really, we don't want to put our baby to one side or let it go, or we feel like we're giving up on it. And that doesn't need to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as I share that, what's coming up for you?
I think I needed to hear that again. I think the first time I heard it, I wasn't super open to it. And I do know that I have gone online and tried to find something, but I wasn't really that committed to it. So yeah, I think that's a push to,
That's the key lesson to do that. When you're in instability is get yourself to stability. Because otherwise we've got that drain on money. We've got the drain of the stress. And it's really challenging to be doing anything from a wealth perspective when effectively we've got a massive leak that's coming out. So that key thing, plug the leak, get to stability, then you have more bandwidth to start getting more creative about these things and know that you can absolutely do so in a way that can enhance your ability to grow your business rather than reduce it. So that's going to be your that's going to be your homework or home play or exercise is to be is to be exploring that. Be really open-minded, speak to people that you know, and tell people I'm actually looking for something part-time, and be open to what the when I believe when we're really connected to our sorceress, source comes in to help us with things like this.
Okay,
how does that sound?
Good. Yep, feeling excited, scared. Yep, good.
Great, good all those good things. Excited and scared are kind of on the same. It's interesting. It's the same.
It is. So when you have same sensations.
Like, I'm actually excited. This is great. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Nadine, you said you're on your work PC, but I've seen you've popped up. Do you want to have a? Can you have a chat now? Do you want to have a chat or you? Yeah, great.
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry, I was on my work PC and I can't get a microphone on there, but my MacBook was charging. I think I've got enough now to have the rest of the chat on here. I'm just massively disorganized everywhere. It's just a trait and I procrastinate a lot. I'm living in a shared ownership property, which I bought 15 years ago, with the intention of sort of staircasing is what they call it, which is buying out more shares as you go. My intention was always to do that because ultimately I don't like having to pay rent to somebody else when I could be paying it towards the property myself. But I entered into a relationship that lasted the best part of 9 years, and because I hadn't sorted it by the time he moved in, my intention was always that he would, you know, basically have the other 50% of the property and he would sort of go down that road, but he never did. In hindsight, we broke up. So, you know, in hindsight, it's good. It's a good thing that he didn't, because obviously I would have been in a different situation now. But it's now been, like I say, 15 years of me living here and paying rent to a housing association for the other half, and I really need just a kick up the arse to just take that step. And actually I almost don't know where to start. I think especially with lockdown at the moment, it's just delayed me even further. I know that I'm gonna need to have money available to pay solicitors costs and things like that, which I don't have at the moment because I work two jobs. But one of them I'm furloughed from because it's in a bar. So that would normally be my kind of spending money. The rest of it's my normal wages just seem to go on housekeeping and you know, just to general spending, which is another issue. I mean, I do like buying myself things. I always go on holiday if I can. I can't this year, so I'm spending it on Amazon instead. So, you know, I'm sure I need to just sort my finances out so that I'm putting money aside to cover, for example, the solicitor's costs, but I'm not doing that.
Where are you at? So it sounds like you haven't had time to keep up with the 10-week wealth turnaround modules.
No, I think that the last video that I watched was the one just before the last
coaching. And up until that point, were you keeping up with the
I only did my sort of personal wealth planner whenever it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Which was a bit of an eye-opener really in terms of my spending since lockdown.
Is that the last thing that you did?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You saw that and went,
ugh! Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Head in the sand.
I think I curbed my spending straight away. And I just thought, you know, when there was an opportunity, when I was sent an email of some special offer on something, I wasn't like, oh, which I had been previously. I was just like, for God's sake, get a grip.
One thing I'm going to recommend that you do is that you unsubscribe. What do you use as your main email account? Do you Gmail or something? Outlook. Okay.
Hotmail. Yeah.
Okay. So unsubscribe to all those updates for all these shopping outlets that you are subscribed to. Because what I'm hearing, I get it. You've got emails pinging up going, oh, this deal, oh, this sale. And you're going, oh, ding, ding. Is that correct?
Yes. And there's things that I actually need and there's things that I do want quite a lot, but I'm kind of holding off till Black Friday to see if they're sort of better deals and things like that. But still, it's probably, you know, at this stage, it's money that I don't need to be spending.
Yeah. There. So you haven't set up your Jam Jars from the sound of things either. So what I would say is let's get you set up with some time in your diary now where you're going to tend to the 10-week turnaround stuff. Because it's a little bit, I think we did this with Tamsin, didn't we? Where at the moment it's actually, everything feels overwhelming because you know you're becoming more and more aware of all these things you need to be doing, but you're not actually setting down and taking the time to do any of them. So this kind of like thing is getting bigger, which is, sounds like shoving your head deeper in the sand each time because it's, and I get it is overwhelming. So let's schedule some time in your diary, an hour each week for you to start chipping away at this.
You know, I did that and I just didn't do it.
Okay.
I put it in for a Sunday morning and then I woke up after the time that I scheduled and I went, oh, well, that's gone.
Okay, so Sunday morning is not a good time to be doing this. So let's pick another time. When are you at your most alert? Mornings, afternoon, like middle of the day or evenings?
I'd say evenings probably.
Okay. So let's pick an evening.
The problem that I've got at the moment is that my main job is so mentally exhausting at the moment. And this year, more than any year, I've worked there for 20 odd years. And this year is crazy. I've never known anything like it. So it's really...
So maybe evenings aren't the best time then?
Well... they are in terms of the fact that my phone stops ringing and I can't do
things. Mentally, you may not have the headspace after a long day to be thinking about financial stuff.
I guess so.
What about in the morning or Saturday?
Saturdays are generally doable now that I'm not working at the pub.
Okay. So why don't you book in a Saturday morning date? Doesn't have to be early. Book it in at a time where even if you have a bit of a lie-in, and put it in your diary.
Okay.
With reminders.
Should be
11 a.m. with reminders. And do you have a buddy that you're working with through?
I feel awful. I had an invitation from Naomi Webster, I think it was, to be my accountability buddy, and I have. We're friends on Facebook, but we haven't spoken.
Okay. So what you're going to do immediately after this call is you're going to reach out to Naomi and say, I'm sorry, I haven't reached out until now. I'm going to take you up on that offer. You're still up for it and set that up. Because accountability is going to be the thing that is really going to make a difference for you.
Yeah.
And there's no point in going into strategies and all the rest. Right now, we need to get you set up with regularity and doing it. And even if you're doing something small, you're doing something. And once you get started, you will start to build up some momentum around this.
Yeah.
So Saturday at 11 a.m. And you've also got us as your witness. And can somebody volunteer as an additional accountability buddy? Because you're on here to check in with Nadine. And Joy's offering. Great, we've already had an offer that might have even come before.
Thank you, Joy.
So yeah, even if it's like it doesn't work out in terms of timing for you two, but where you can at least send each other a text message on your phone and say, have you done it? Let's not leave it to Facebook. Get each other's phone numbers and send to either daily or, you know, on the Saturday, whatever it is, to make sure it's getting done. Okay. And then again, like I suggested before, if it's helpful for you to do a co-working Zoom date with some people, anyone else on here who's been going, oh, I haven't been finding the time. If you want to do an 11 a.m. Saturday co-working Zoom date with Nadine, then just pop that into the chat box too. Just volunteering you there, Nadine, because then you'll do more. You know, the thing is, when we're accountable to other people, then we'll actually, it's like, oh, okay, I really need to get this done. So, and then when you start looking at the things you need to do, just if you're feeling yourself get overwhelmed, make a brain dump of all the things. Like, for example, with your home, if that's something you want to tend to, just write out a list of all the things you'd have to do to get that done. Because right now, it's like, oh gosh, I've got to do this, and then I have to, blah, blah, and it's kind of all out there, scattergun. Make a list, and then you go for each one. Okay, what's the next step? And if there's a problem, well, what could I do to solve it? Because then at least you know what the blockers are, and then you can start thinking about a solution. But otherwise, right now, what we can end up doing when we've got this going is we're just pinging around going, oh God, and then there's this, and then there's that. And we just ping around in this big, messy cloud of things we need to do around it, and we don't get anywhere.
That's what I feel my entire...
We're in a pinball machine. Just going, bing, 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 bing. Yeah. No, yeah. Make a list so you know actually what this... And make a list, and then you decide, okay, what's the first step? What are the things that are the blockers? And don't be thinking about things as the blockers. It's like, okay, that's interesting. What could I do? What's a step that I could do to help me try and solve that? Okay. Great.
Work call coming through. How rude.
Okay. Okay. Lovely. How do you feel now?
Better and a bit more, well, anxious, I guess, but because I know that somebody's going to be checking up on me, or at least one person's going to be checking up on me now.
And we're going to check in on you. On future calls too. Which means you should still show up. Don't think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to show up to another call. So Joy is offering, lovely, thank you Joy for taking the action on this, and she's going to find you on Facebook and send you a message, and then you can set up on WhatsApp and keep each other accountable. And I know that Beverly as well said that she'd be up for doing co-working Zoom, and you don't have to, you know, it's just, you literally Zoom each other like that, and you're just working at the same time on your own stuff. And I promise you, it makes such a difference to be able to do that.
Thanks for the tips.
Yeah. You're so welcome, my lovely.
Yes.
And there we are. Gosh, an hour and a half goes by quickly when you're talking about fun stuff like finance, huh? So Fiona's also offering. So check in with each other. And if you're up for doing a co-working Zoom, then Nadine is going to be working at 11 a.m. on Saturday, so you can reach out to her on Facebook. Anne is also checking in with you. Lovely. So thank you so much. Thank you for everything you've brought. Thank you for those of you who had the vulnerability to share. Thank you for all of you who were in the background typing to the chat channel, lending your support, and learning from what we covered today. So I hope that's been helpful for you. Keep plugging away bit by bit. You're all doing great wherever you are, and I look forward to speaking to you in 2 weeks. So lots of love. Take care of yourselves. Stay safe, and speak to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.